this dream has three parts. I'm not going to tell you all the parts. The first part just had to do with conference I'm going to and my Bible and my word, and that the enemy wants to steal the word. And the second part of the dream had to do with sanctification and do it now. If you ever have a dream with a shower or a bathtub in it or a toilet, those kind of dreams, you're not going to tell everybody exactly what happened in the dream. Those are God saying, get cleaned up here, get sanctified here, deal with issues here, okay? And in this particular dream, it was like, do it now, don't wait, because my brain was, oh, I already had a shower this morning, I don't want to take another one. Anyway, the third part of the dream is what jumped out at me that I began to study scripture about. And in the third part of the dream, Edie and I go walking like 8 miles a couple times a week, that kind of stuff, and she drags me through the woods and all this kind of stuff. And she's like my personal trainer that God put in there. It wasn't on purpose. Believe me, not on my part at all. But she has this special gift. She gets me talking about something I'm interested in, and or God does. And then before I know it, we're like 6 miles out. You know, what are your choices? She does always volunteer to go get the car. But anyhow, so in the dream, we're in the woods, and there's these two wolves. And they're baby wolves, or they look like baby wolves. How many know things look smaller when they're far away, right? So they look like baby wolves. So Edie, who's also a vet assistant and really good with the animals and everything, she gets by a tree and she says, just be still, just be really still. They're too small, they're not gonna wanna mess with us. So we're standing by the tree and it looks like it's working. And next thing I know in the dream, this gigantic wolf comes right here and he sticks his paw here and his other claw is literally on my face. And so I'll tell you how you know it's a God dream, because it should be scaring you a lot, but it's not scary. Okay, God's dreams, your brain is going, this should be scary, but it's not emotionally making you feel scared. Do you get what I'm saying? If you get a dream that makes you emotionally feel scared, it's from the enemy. He's trying to plant a spirit of fear in you. Well, that's another whole topic, okay? But if you have a dream that looking at it looks really crazy, it looks like something the devil may have wanted to do, but it doesn't hit your emotions like that, it's a symbolic dream, okay? That God wants you to interpret or have somebody interpret. And when God speaks you through, when God speaks to you through dreams, he means it. Amen? And he just means it. We need to take that. There's enough scripture of people having dreams from Peter in a vision and Joseph himself and Old Testament, Joseph the father, the adopted father, what do you want to say, of Jesus. And then you have Joseph and the, you know, there's a lot of dreams in the Bible. Amen? And so I'm just giving you a real quick overview. But so I'm sitting there. And in the dream, these are the kind of dreams you wish you'd wake up, you know, like, because this was one intense thing after the other. This was the worst, though. And I'm sitting there, okay, so when you have a dream and there's somebody in the dream, like Edie was in my dream, the first thing you ask God is, what does this person represent about the dream, okay? Well, Edie and I had just done inner healing deliverance while we went on our walk. We'd be hilarious for anybody to follow us, but fortunately, most of the time we're somewhere out in the woods or something by ourselves when we get radically deliverance-oriented, or by water. There's a lot of things been thrown in the water. But anyway, so we're out on the walk, and then God starts showing me something when she was 4 and all this stuff that she was dealing with and asking God about. And she got healed from, or began being healed from reasoning, okay? And reasoning, the Bible talks about reasoning, we teach on reasoning. Reasoning is where your brain jumps in and tries to do what only God should be doing. Amen? So she represented reasoning in this dream. So God's like, you know, there's a problem. So it was showing me the enemy wants to get you because of reasoning. All right, so what would you do as a born-again believer who believes in the Holy Spirit leading? What would you do if you had a dream like that? Amen. Okay, so you go to your concordance and you look up, or eSword. I don't know what you guys call it. It's where you hit that little search thing, you know, with the little magnifying glass, and in your Bible and your on your computer thing and or your phone or whatever, and you put in woof, right? So I did that, and so what I'm preaching about this morning is what God gave me about woof. Okay, because I take it really serious, because I'm like, okay, what are you showing me? The first part of the dream had to do with the Word of God, because my Bible's in here. And so my iPad was missing. Karen's Bible, when we travel, is in her phone. Her phone was missing. Somebody broke into her car and took, that's all they took. So the Lord's saying the enemy wants to take the Word from you. He wants to stop the Word from coming forth from you. The second part of the dream, you need to get sanctification. You need to deal with something now. And the third part, and there's a few other things. And the third part of the dream, and it gave me some time factors. And the third part of the dream is, which seemed unconnected, but there's a wolf. And he's in your face and he wants to claw your face off. Amen. Now you could wait until the wolf gets you and then run to God. But how many would rather run to God because of his faithfulness to give you a dream to try to deal with something in your heart? Amen. And so I'm actually going to teach this morning as fast as I can, kind of maybe, what he showed me. And it's kind of cool because it goes along with the teaching we're doing on Job all month or next month. And we'll be doing some more of that on Tuesday. Because what he has me doing, for everything I see in Job, I need to find New Testament to say, to line it up, amen? And to say, what is God saying now, and what is God showing now? The only really scripture that talks about wolf in a very strong way is John 9 and 10, okay? Well, it's John 10, but John 9 explains what's happening in John 10. So if you go to John 9, we're just going to do this really as fast. I'm not getting to the healing teaching, all that. We have teaching on healing. I want to get to the part about the wolf, okay? So here we go. And passing by, Jesus saw a blind man from birth. So this guy was blind basically without eyeballs, because otherwise Jesus wouldn't have had to take the clay and make eyeballs. As his disciples asked him, they said, "Teacher, who sinned? Was it his sin or his parents that he was born blind?" Now I'm going to get into that more on Tuesday night. Okay, I'm not going to do it this morning. But their reasoning was, whose fault is it? How many know, everybody knows everybody sins, right? So they all sinned. But their question to God is a judgmental, they're asking Jesus a judgmental question. So whose fault is it? Let me figure this out. Do you know you judge so to protect yourself? If I could figure out what they did wrong, then I won't do it wrong, and then I don't have to go through what they went through. Amen? Judging is kind of throwing the other person under the bus to protect yourself, even though it doesn't work. Actually, the truth is, the Bible says, well, if you do that, whatever you judge, the enemy's going to bring it back at you. Well, that backfires, doesn't it? So anyway, all right. Jesus answered, "Neither this one nor his parents sinned." In other words, he's saying, of course they sin. Jesus doesn't lie. He's saying, what you're asking me about is not connected to their sin. It's kind of like, that's none of your business. But that the works of God might be revealed in him. So let me just say this about anyone who goes through anything. God doesn't want us focused. And I have been focused there some because of things he's taught me and things I've been through. But you can become judgmental when you begin to focus on the why instead of focus on what God's up to. It doesn't really matter why somebody has cancer to anybody but them. Amen? Amen. And God's like, when you look at other people's circumstances, I want you to see what God wants to do. What does God want to reveal? Okay. Now you'll notice when Jesus says this, he doesn't say it about the people who don't get healed. Why? Because he's God, and every time he's going to reveal something, he's going to reveal the will of God, right? He's perfect. He's powerful. He's moving in full obedience to the Holy Spirit. And that's how we become perfected. We totally yield everything to God, and we move in full obedience to the Holy Spirit, not reasoning, okay? So Jesus wasn't going to get down and debate with them their judgmental attitude. He was saying, don't look at their sin. That's not what I want you looking at. I want you to look at that God's going to be glorified in this, okay? So whenever you're ministering to somebody, whenever you're going through something, stop and say, okay, God, how will you get the glory in this for real? Biblically, how will you get the glory in this? And then you just read about Jesus. He healed them all. He says he healed them all. Okay, Lord, you want the glory in this. Anybody in here dealing with any kind of sickness or disease that you've had for over a year? Raise your hands. Raise your hands. It's okay. We're not going to stone you. All right. So for those who are dealing with a sickness or a disease that you've, God wants you to begin to focus on what's going to glorify him in this. Okay. Everybody getting that? Change your focus. With sanctification, inner healing is awesome. It can show you how the enemy got in. But if that becomes your focus, you will not get to what God's getting to. Amen? You won't get to what he's getting to. Whatever you're struggling with, if your focus is the why am I struggling with this, what is the sin, you will become sin-focused and devil-focused instead of what does God want to do with this. Now, when I'm focused on what God wants to do with this, then God, by his Spirit, can lead me to an answer from issues in my heart that he wants to deal with that will turn everything around. Amen? Amen? So the key is, who is leading you in this? And what the disciples were doing here is they were trying to make it sin-focused. And I've had to repent. I know I've made things sin-focused as I've been learning things. Amen? And so, Lord, I repent of that. But I do know as you build your faith in walking with God, I didn't finish my one thing. It just hit me. Tony Evans, what he said was so good. The reason God doesn't show you everything is because we do not walk by sight, but we walk by faith. He's not going to change it. As a believer, you're going to walk by faith, not by sight. So he shows you a little, you get to a new place, he gives you a little more, you get to a new place. Why? Because he's building your faith, folks. He's building your faith. You're trusting and believing him and being led by his Spirit. That's what he's about. He's not about what necessarily happens good or bad for you tomorrow. He's really about building your faith and having you walk in authority and live in his kingdom for real. All right, so I want you to see in this, we need to be God-focused. And obviously when I say God-focused, how does he get the glory? So for somebody to be born blind, to become God-focused, you would start to focus on he is going to see again. Now, when my son was really, really sick, and I got through the pretended faith fear stuff, and I finally hit this place, and God began to have me focused on my son being well, not just a little well, but completely well. And it took years, okay? It took years. But the key that I didn't really know how to explain it as well until I saw this, God gave me this last night, is I became, what is going to glorify God in this? What is going to glorify? Of course he's going to glorify himself. Now don't change what glorifies God because it glorifies man. Okay? They just got through that so good. They suffered so good. And we're going to look at Job a little more about this because God rebukes Job. You're going to see this. When we get to the end of Job, God rebukes Job. Okay? And we talked about this some. This Job series is going to be really powerful. But here's the thing. When somebody says, well, I glorify God by sharing Christ during this. Okay, that's true. You glorified him as a witness, but you didn't glorify him necessarily in the disease. Now, I'm not judging. Do you see what I'm saying? Okay, thank you, Lord. Aim high. Aim high. In your own life, aim high. I mean, there were opportunities in my son's sickness where really they said, well, if we do this, then we'll have this. And he would be 4 feet tall, 4.5 feet tall, something like that. He would be blind. He would have diabetes. But he'd be alive, and they could keep him alive for a long time. See, I could have thought, oh, good, let's do that. But I aimed high, right? No, God says by his stripes he's healed. Amen. So I believe healed means healed. And so I'm not going to settle for what I'm being offered when we finally got to the point where he wasn't going to die. Do you see what I'm saying? Does everybody get this? So when I say aim high, when God says he was, that the works of God might be revealed in him, that's aiming high. That's aiming high for your life. I want my life to be a life that the works of God can be revealed. Amen. I want every trial I go through to be a trial where the works of God can be revealed and not the works of the enemy. Amen? Amen. And so God is, you're going to see this in a minute, this whole Pharisee spirit, how it stops that. It gets the focus on the wrong thing. Okay, Jesus goes on, "It behooves me to work the works of him who sent me while it's still day." And I have to keep working the works the Father sent me to do while it's still my time to do that. Night comes and no one's going to be able to work. It's going to be a dark time. "While I am in the world, I am the light of the world," just as Jesus. Saying these things, he spat on the ground and made clay out of the spit and anointed clay. He anointed the clay and put it on the blind one's eyes. Y'all got to admit, Jesus was a little different in his ministry style. Right? Most of us would have judged him, made fun, ran off, and laughed about it. And if anybody does it today, you do the same thing. So get out of your high-minded, intelligent thinking, your reasoning, and realize that God does things to shake everything up. Right? But he just prophetically is led by the Father to grab dirt, because that's what we're made of. Amen. Spit on it. And put it on the guy's eyes. A lot of people would have been insulted by that. Saying these things. So he's preaching as he's ministering, isn't it? He's demonstrating. Oh, this is good for all you up-and-coming evangelists. He's demonstrating what he's preaching as he's preaching it. Oh, this is really good. If your life doesn't demonstrate what you're preaching, shut up. Self-righteousness would no longer be the Pharisee spirit that you're going to see Jesus talking about that has turned most of the world off to the church because they haven't seen Jesus revealed. Amen? All right, so. Saying these things, he spat on the ground and made clay. I always see pictures of him when he's doing this. Isn't he cool? He's sitting there saying this really deep stuff, you know, really cool, deep stuff. He's telling these guys, quit being judges. Quit focusing on sin. He's like rebuking them and correcting them the whole time. He's still looking at this blind guy who's standing there hearing all this, and he spits on this dirt and puts it on the guy's eyes. That was Jesus preaching, okay? He's so cool. And he says to the man, "Now go wash in the pool," which is translated, it's the word sent. Then he went and washed and came seeing. Okay, there's quite a few prophetic things there. He sent him to a pool called sent, which means when I do this, you'll recognize that you're being sent to reveal the glory of God. What he just got done saying, don't worry about the sin issues. Let's glorify the Father in this. Let's glorify God in this. Then he does his thing, and then he sends him to a pool to wash it off, saying sent, which means as soon as you wash this off and obey me, as soon as you obey me, you will find out that things will change. And when they change, go and tell everybody. Amen? That's why you count it all joy when you go through a trial. Because you actually, if you get to the place to count it joy, you actually have something to be sent to give. You have some. Now, if you stay the victim and the poor me and you're dealing with why did this happen, you are not glorifying God in a way to be sent. Amen? We got a lot of teaching. You cannot be a victim and an overcomer at the same time. You just can't. You got to figure out which identity you want to agree with and then let God make it real in your life. All right. Now it says, and he said to him, go wash in the pool, sent, and he went and washed, and he came out of that scene. Then the neighbors and those who formerly saw him, they knew he was blind, and they said, is not this the one who used to sit around and beg? And some said, this is he. And others says, oh, it looks like him. And then the guy says, hey, it is me. And then they said to him, well, how were your eyes opened? And he answers and says, I don't know. A man, they called him Jesus. He made some clay. He anointed my eyes. And then he told me to go to the pool sent and to wash them. And I did it, and now I can see. Don't be so hyper spiritual when you read this stuff. This is like real people talking. Like, what happened to you? I don't know. Some guy, what's his name? I don't know. Jesus? Somebody said his name was Jesus. All I know is he spit on some clay and stuck it on my eyes and told me to do something, and I did it, and I can see. We'd be like, and they took the clay. And they took the... Okay, anyway. All right. Then they said to him, where is that one? And he goes, I don't know. So they brought this guy to the Pharisees, the guy who was blind. And it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. It was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Okay. And God began to deal with me because the wolf in me that I have to get completely out of me to stop the wolf from destroying me and what God's called me to do is a Pharisee spirit. And get over it, almost every Christian who's ever read the Bible probably has it a little bit. Amen? Amen? You know how I know? We wouldn't sit through the same kind of church services we've sat through so long if we did not have a Pharisee spirit. And we wouldn't run off and leave the church altogether unless we had a Pharisee spirit. Okay, so it was the Sabbath and Jesus made the clay and opened it. And it was on the Sabbath that Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. All the Pharisees again asked the guy once again. And he says to them, he put the clay on my eyes. I washed, I see. Get it? Then some of the Pharisees said, this man, this Jesus, is not from God. Here's the Pharisee part. Because he does not keep the Sabbath. Others says, how can a man, a sinner, do such a miraculous sign? And so there was a division among them. All right. So the Pharisees are basically making this conclusion that if he really was God, he wouldn't go against the Sabbath. Now, we know later Jesus declares he is the Lord of the Sabbath. What is God saying to us in this? Are we supposed to go against the word of God? Are we not supposed to believe the word of God, how we see things? Come on, y'all can talk. It's all right. You know that's not what he's saying. What God is, what? Let me tell you something about God. He cares about the heart. He cares about the heart. The heart of this Pharisee was not to protect the word of God. The heart of this Pharisee was jealousy. And the heart of this Pharisee was to see God through his own self-righteousness. And so through self-righteousness, he doesn't understand that the very laws of God are set up by God to heal people and to help people and to love people. He doesn't understand that the very laws are set up to bring healing and protection and deliverance. And he doesn't understand that because he's a Pharisee. He doesn't understand that because of reasoning. He doesn't understand that the way a lot of us don't understand it. Because it's about understanding the heart of God and not being light with that. Amen? So what he's saying is God wouldn't do this. And then the other people saying, well, wait a minute. There's no way that somebody could get eyes that didn't have eyes. And that was one of the signs they looked for in the Messiah. So how did this happen? And so there's this these people arguing. The people are going, wait a minute. Only God can heal. Or only God can create, okay? Only God can create new eyeballs. So it had to be him. It had to be from God. And they're like, well, God wouldn't do this. Okay, so the Pharisee spirit isn't as, it doesn't even look at the evidence that God is doing something. It doesn't look at the evidence that God is doing something because it sees everything through its preconceived idea of what God has to be like and who God is and how he operates. Okay? So therefore, there's a lot of Pharisees who do not believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit as being evidence with supernatural power and signs and wonders starting to follow. Doesn't mean they're not saved. It doesn't mean that they don't to the best that they know love God, right? Why? Because we're not to judge them, right? We're not to judge it. We've all been it. What's the heart of God to that? What's the heart of God to that? The heart of God is let's keep loving and demonstrating and not letting the wolf in them put a wolf in us. Amen? And to keep walking in that kind of love. And it's called persecution. And the spirit of glory rests on those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. If you don't get persecuted for righteousness' sake, you're not walking in much glory. Why? Because the minute you begin to be persecuted for righteousness' sake, because you're right standing with God, I'm getting persecuted because of that. That's how the enemy only attacks. The enemy really, really only attacks those who, when I'm talking, he does things because he has ownership in people, but he's only allowed to attack those who are glorifying God. And the reason is because it makes, if you want to say, God says, here's more glory. Walk in more love. Here's more glory. Walk in more love. Suffer the way I suffered. Love the way I love. Don't let hate in. You love when you're misunderstood. You love when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. You love, and I'm going to give you more of me. Amen? And that's just how it works in the kingdom. So he goes on, and Satan does attack everybody, okay? I get that. There's a difference between being persecuted and being attacked because of the sin issues in your life that Satan owns. So in other words, if you're doing drugs and you get in trouble for doing drugs, or you lose your job, or you overdose, or any of those things, you don't even have to look very far. Don't go blaming God. You walked outside of God's protection. You walked outside of being in right standing with God, and Satan can pretty much attack. Amen? That's why they wrote the laws in the Old Testament, so the people who didn't have hope, we didn't have Holy Spirit yet, but if you do this, this, and this, and this, you'll be living in a way that Satan can't get to you. It won't get you into heaven, but it's going to protect you. So he goes on. They said to the blind one once again, what do you say about this man, this Jesus? Because he opened your eyes? And the guy said, he must be a prophet. And the Jews did not believe concerning this him, that he was blind and saw new, until they called his parents. Like, this is set up. This is a fraud. This is set up. Where's his parents? Okay. His parents answered them. They said, and they asked them, saying, is this your son? Was he born blind? How can he see? The parents answered and said, we know this is our son, and we know he was born blind. But now that he sees, we do not know. We don't know how his eyes opened. We don't know. He's of age. Ask him. He will speak about himself. For his parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus Christ as Lord, he would be expelled from the synagogue. Look at the intimidation. So these people are like, we're not willing yet to be expelled, but we know this is our son, and we know he was blind, and we know he now sees. Talk to him about it. People are people. Because of this, his parents said, ask him. Then the second time they called the man who was blind, they said, give glory to God, because we know this man's sinner. What's he saying? Quit saying that Jesus did this. You need to glorify God and not bring Jesus up in this thing. That's what the Pharisees are now trying to do. Come on, folks. We live in a culture where we'll talk about God, but don't talk about Jesus. The enemy is okay if you talk about God, because everybody talks about God. The atheists say they don't believe in him. Every other religion has their idea of who he is or what he is, right? Everybody talks. Nobody gets closed down for talking about God. But when you mention this man, Jesus, when you mention the Messiah, when you mention the Son of God, when you mention the name of Jesus, amen, everybody gets upset. It's pretty cool as a believer that God is busting through the prince of this air, which is the spirit of the air that tries to stay in control. And every time, let me tell you, every time you hear the name of Jesus coming forth through the media and coming forth from any leadership, every time you hear the name of Jesus or the word Christian coming forth, it is busting through the prince of the air. It is destroying the very spirit that has set this nation up to walk away from God. So no matter your political preference, you ought to be shouting hallelujah every time you hear the name of Jesus. And if you can't, you need to ask yourself why. Or you can come talk to me, I'll help you. Because you got some hurt places in there that can't even rejoice that God is doing something powerful. Amen? All right. Go on. He says, then he answered, said, whether he is a sinner, I don't know. One thing I do know, that being blind, now I see. Okay, this guy's kind of showing you and his parents how not to let a Pharisee judge you. Okay? How is this working that you don't let the Pharisee judge you? You just say the facts. You just say the facts. This is what I know. This is what I know. This is what I know. You don't put anything else in there because they're not. Remember when Jesus talked to Pilate, he explained what was going on, but to Herod, he didn't say a word. Why? Herod was being his judge. Pilate really wanted to know. Pharisee spirit doesn't want to know. They're just judging you. The way to not be judged, is to just answer with fact and leave it alone. Do you get what I'm saying? So when somebody's trying to judge you, so you think you're a Christian, blah, 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 you don't get there and argue all that. You just say, I know that God lives inside of me and I am a Christian. Have a nice day. No. But don't you know? It's okay. You don't have to be a Christian. God's not ever going to force you. Have a nice day. See, the Pharisees trying to get an argumentative thing going so they can lord it over you with their reasoning. If y'all would just learn that, you college kids who are really called to be light on your campus, as everybody is, but if you would recognize, I'm not going to get in an intellectual debate with people. I'm not going to have reasoning be the answer. If they're not open, I'm just going to answer the question if I even feel led to answer. Jesus didn't answer. But I'm just going to live it. And then when somebody asks me about my faith or my belief, they always get saved. I'm not kidding. I have like almost 100% accuracy rate of people I've led to the Lord, because I don't tell them anything till God tells me they're ready. And they usually ask me. Or God has us sitting on a plane, and all of a sudden the Lord's like, ask them if they have any children. I'm like, you're going to do something. And the minute I ask them, they'll say, how many children do you have? Lord's like, tell them about Lauren. And I'll tell them about God. I'll tell them about, that's why you overcome with your testimony. And you just share this. And next thing, they're crying. The cool thing on a plane, everybody else is quiet. And then you start talking and everybody is interested. So, I mean, I've had entire planes like, shh. Who knows how many other people got saved? I'm not kidding. And this man, I had no idea he had just lost a child. And he was blaming God. And he hugged me and we prayed. I gave him my book. And other people on the plane were crying. It was like, okay, had a captive audience there for a little bit. See you guys, you know. But it wasn't an obnoxious thing, okay? It was a God set it up thing. It was a God set up. It was a God set up. All right, so he goes on. He says again, I told you already. Do you not hear me? What? Why do you want to hear this again? Do you want to be his follower? I love that. That is like God speaking through you. You know, it's like you take and turn the intimidation around. He's not trying to. He's just responding. And then they're so angry at him, they revile him, and they say, you are a disciple of that one, but we belong to Moses. Does that not sound like, you go to that church, but I go to this church. And you follow that person, but I follow this person. That's all a Pharisee spirit. The entire covering doctrine is a Pharisee spirit, but anyhow. The man answered and said, for there is a marvel in this, that you do not know from where he comes, but he opened my eyes. Ooh. In other words, you're supposed to be the religious leaders, and you don't know anything about this guy. And he's got power to open my eyes. That's amazing to me that you don't know. But we know that God does not hear sinful ones, he says. But if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he hears that one. Okay, how many knows that a lot of what the Pharisee says is true? But it's coming from the wrong heart. They're using God's word to try to make somebody else feel bad about themselves. They're using God's word to put somebody in their place. Okay, God's word will put you in your place. You don't want to know where that place is, right? It's smack dab at the feet of Jesus. God's word will put everybody in their place. That place is at the feet of Jesus. Amen? All right. He goes on. From the beginning of the age, it was never heard that anyone opened the eyes of one having been born blind. If this one was not from God, he could not have done this. They answered and said to him, you were born. Now they're picking on him. Well, you were born in sin, and how can you teach us? And they threw him outside. A Pharisee spirit doesn't think anybody can teach them that they don't esteem as higher than themselves. A Pharisee spirit cannot learn from a Bible teacher that's new on the scene. A Pharisee spirit cannot learn from somebody who just got a revelation from God that's real. A Pharisee spirit is very selective, that I'm only going to hear from people who agree with me and who I esteem as being, who have been through the same training and teaching and schooling that I have. Come on, don't even look all shocked. We all got a little bit of it in us. Amen? If you were brought up Baptist, then you're as a Baptist. And if you're brought up charismatic, aren't you superior to the Baptist? And if you're brought up Episcopal or what, you know what I'm saying? God's like, this is all part of the Pharisee spirit. We got to break this thing out of our hearts and just be led by God, all right? And recognize God in everything he's actually in, not what he's not in, but see where he's really at. All right, they said to him, and then they threw him outside. Then Jesus heard that they threw him outside, and they found him, and he says, do you believe into the Son of God? And he said, who is he, Lord, that I can believe in him? And Jesus says to him, even you have seen him, and you're speaking to him right now. And then the man cries out, I believe, Lord, and he worshiped him. Can I tell you what a real encounter with the real God does? It causes you to believe and worship. There's no such thing as worship without believing, and there's no real believing without worship. If your heart is not worshiping, if your heart does not cry out for more of him, if your heart is not so in love with him, then you did not encounter him. You have a Pharisee encounter. You're encountering him here, but not here. And I really want people to get serious to ask God for a real encounter. I want you to get rid of your reasoning in the sense of trying to figure everything out and what's right and what's wrong. There's no reason in debating this stuff, you guys. There's no reason in debating this. Either you know him and you walk with him and it shows in your life and it's revealed and you glorify him, or you don't. Either he's changing you from glory to glory, or you're not walking with him. I can't stay the same for a day. He doesn't even let you go on vacation without him, thank God. We get in some of our worst situations and you're thinking, and then something crazy happens and you're like, you're kidding. You want me to deal with your inner healing you got in India. We're in India and we got all this stuff going on. And it was real cool. I can't remember what the breakthrough was, but there was some breakthrough about your cousin or something. And all this stuff is going on. I'm sitting in the room going, you're kidding me, God. You're kidding me. I just got off this plane. Can't go to the bathroom for 9 hours if you're a girl. In this part of the trip, and you're just getting past not being dehydrated and a headache and all this stuff, and you're sitting there and getting ready to go and do a pastor's conference, and then you hear about somebody's cousin doesn't like you and the whole family is hurting, and it's really hurting her. And I'm like, you're kidding, right? Like, now we're gonna do this? And we did, and the Lord did the whole thing. It was awesome, it was fun, the power of God came. I probably used it somewhere in the teaching that week, but it was like, he doesn't look at it like you're too busy or you're on vacation or you're, it is a day in and day out encountering God and being changed by him. The reason people aren't changing is you bought a Pharisee lie that it's a once in a while thing that you'll feel God when you come into church. It's a once in a while thing that you'll hear something that he doesn't talk. He's always talking. His name is the Word. But you can't understand it. This was never written. Let me say this. You cannot understand this, and neither can anybody else. But the Holy Spirit is the teacher, and he lives in you, and he's the only one who understands it. And he can give it to teachers who can then teach us. He can give it to apostles and prophets and whoever he wants, but he can give it to you. And you should always invite him in every time you read it or anything else. Every time. All the time. All right. Okay, so he goes on. Then Jesus says, I came into this world for judgment, that the ones not seeing can see, and the ones who see become blind. Don't you love Jesus? He's really deep, isn't he? We know he says, I didn't come to judge the world, but to save the world, right? So how can he say right here he came to judge? Because he did both. Amen? He did both. He came to judge the hearts of those who were acting as if they knew him and knew about him, but they were really blind. And they were making people think they couldn't see or know God on their own. He came to say, look, if you think you can't know me and you can't see me and you can't walk with me, that's a lie. And if you think that you do, but you tell others they can't, you're wrong. You have a Pharisee spirit. Whoa. There's entire doctrines that tell you that you're not going to be able to hear God. But let me say, know this. If you are hearing him and walking with him, he's changing you. You're not who you were, and you can't enjoy the sin. You can't enjoy sin anymore. You can't enjoy it. It loses its power on you. And if you have this Pharisee spirit, you need to ask God to get it out of your heart, because your salvation is in your head and in your reasoning, and it hasn't broken through to your heart where it changes you. Amen? So he goes on. And he says, and so the Pharisees hear him say this. Don't you love Jesus? He says, yep, there's some people who think they see everything right and they're wrong, they're blind. And there's others who think they can't see at all, but I'm making them see. And then the Pharisees who were there heard him say these things. And they said to him, are you saying we're blind? Jesus said to them, ooh, he gets them. He is so full of wisdom, isn't he? Jesus says to them, if you were blind, this wouldn't count as sin. But now that you say that you see, your sin remains. Wow. Wow. Okay, get excited about this, because that means until somebody knows it's sin, the sin is not their problem. Do you get that? Oh, someone practicing homosexuality that doesn't know that it's sin, the homosexuality is not their problem. In other words, it's not what you focus on. But when they have an encounter with God, amen, then their eyes will be open, and then they will know it's sin. Amen. And then if they don't deal with it, then they really got a problem. Do you get that? Amen. Do you get that about alcohol, about drugs, about fornicators, about adulterers, about liars, about any people who have abortions? God says when you don't know it's sin, that's not the issue. It's a trap of the enemy. It's trying to destroy you. It's hurting you, right? But when you find him and you know it's sin, or you think you know him and you recognize his sin, then there's nothing you can do about it. It's in Christ that sin is dealt with. It's not in arguments and logic and debates. Does everybody get that? It's in Christ. But let me say, in Christ it's dealt with. And in Hebrews it says, if you don't let him deal with it, there's nothing left to save you. Let's wake up and read the whole Bible. Amen? Amen. So what is Jesus? He's so cool. Isn't he so cool? He's not going to argue. He's like, you know what? And does anybody realize he's not this overly cuddly kind of God that a lot of people act like? Jesus didn't hug the Pharisee and say, oh, you know, you'll be okay. And oh, Jesus didn't do that, did he? Did he? Jesus looks at him and said, because you know that it's now counted against you. How many know America needs a revelation of a real Jesus who will look at somebody who continues to sin and say, now that you say you know me and you've seen me, it's counted against you. Your sin remains. Truly, I say to you, gosh, I guess I could finish this Tuesday because I really do want to get into worship. Okay, can everybody remember this till Tuesday? Because I want to redo that. I want it on the tape. But here's the thing. It's in the next part where Jesus goes off on what looks like a tangent and talks about the sheep and the hirelings and the shepherd and the wolf. And so if you don't have that part, you don't understand what the wolf is. The wolf is the Pharisee spirit. The wolf in Scripture, the predator. Ooh, get this. Ooh, the predator. The wolf that wants to lead you astray in Scripture are people and even leaders who are doing it for the money, hirelings, and they don't really care about you. And they have a Pharisee spirit, and he calls them wolves. So when God gave me that, and I'm going to teach that on Tuesday, so everybody remind me where I stopped, okay? I'll do John 10 on Tuesday. But here's the deal. When God gave me that dream and I saw that wolf like really at my face and I saw the beginning of the dream in a separate, my Bible disappearing, it took some revelation and spending time with God and talking to some people and getting interpretation to get to the place to realize that God is saying the Pharisee spirit in your heart is setting you up for the enemy to try to get you. And I want you to deal with it before this conference I'm going to. I want it dealt with. How many know when God shows you something like that, you want to deal with it now? Yes. Amen? You just want to deal with it now. And it's not like a formula. Lord, you know it's there. I see it now. I see where I judge if this person's wrong in their doctrine there, then I want to throw the whole thing out. I see where, you know, I try to want to figure out why this is happening or that's happening. Even though there's spiritual laws to show why things happen, it's none of my business why something happens to you unless you come to me and God gives me direction to minister to you. It is my business why something happens to me, but I run to God and I ask God, show me why this is happening to me, and he shows me. But if I take that into a formula, or I take that into a judgment, or I take that in the way that I want to present Christ in the gospel, I bring in a Pharisee spirit. Amen? I told you, this is kind of meat, even though I did enough baby food in there to help everybody. Amen? But God wants us to realize, we got to get this stuff out of our hearts. How do you know it's in there? Because that's how we are brought up in the church as it is now. Right? My gosh, until the conference, people, you young people don't realize, back in the day, you didn't leave your church. You had to sneak off if you're going to somebody else's meeting at their church. Don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. You're going to whose conference? Well, I don't know. I haven't heard their stuff. I even had a pastor tell me I had to send back all these teaching tapes that I got years ago. Because of the poison in there. And I've never been one to think like, I just read the word and fell in love with God and believed it. I didn't even know about all this politics in church. I had no idea about politics in church. You think there's politics in the world? Ha, ha. They get it from, it's a reflection of something. And I just remember, you know, it was way, way back when I was really getting hungry for God and I wanted to learn about faith and stuff. And I got all excited when I heard Marilyn Hickey, and she's a faith teacher. And I just really liked, I just was drawn to her by the Holy Spirit. And so, man, I ordered all of her stuff, her whole library. It was like, I can't remember if it was $500 or $1,000. That's a lot of money now. It was a lot back then. I was so new in the Lord. You know, I was saved since I was 7, but I was new and getting deeper in God. I just sat there. And I just remember, I couldn't wait to get all her teaching. And then I thought, oh my gosh. You know, and I just got a bonus check from my job and from sales. And I had to go get a money order. And I thought, okay. And it was raining. I said, God, if you really want me to do this, stop the rain. The rain stops. So I go to the money order, and I'm embarrassed to tell him I'm writing it to a ministry. And I'm like, yeah, make this thing to Marilyn Hickey Ministries. They're like, I said, but I usually don't do this. I've never done this before. I don't know why I'm doing this now. I'm like justified. Like it, she cares where I'm sitting my $1,000, but I'm like, you know, under this thing, you don't do stuff with faith teachers, you know. I'm like, so I get it, and I walk in my house, and it pours raining again. I send it off. I can't wait for it to come in all of your hands. So I was so hungry all of a sudden. God was stirring my hunger. God will stir your hunger. He knows what you're called to do. I'm not telling you to listen to Marilyn Hickey. You listen to who God has you listen to. But don't be a Pharisee and touch who God's using in other people's lives if they're preaching the gospel. Amen? If they're preaching the gospel, get off your Pharisee horse and let God be in charge. And don't go by what other people say. Amen? Don't follow man. Follow God. And then ask people, well, what helped you get here? And I can give you a list really quick of how God got me where he got me. Everybody here should be having a list of things you're reading and things God's leading you to that's getting you where, and you need to have Holy Ghost in there. And let me tell you what's going to keep you on track. You only want the Holy Ghost. If you only want the Holy Ghost for real, you can only get the Holy Ghost. But if you want to fit in with your friends or you want a big ministry or you want a blah, blah, then you're not really only wanting the Holy Ghost. Amen? So make sure you really only want the Holy Ghost. Only God can do that. But anyway, so my church found out that I ordered this stuff. And I was in an evangelical church. Very good. If I told you, you know where it was. And I was so excited because God put it in my heart. So my pastor calls me in. And he did it in love. Okay? He cared. And he said, Cindy, we know you have an influence and you have a Bible study or something. He said, and we really don't want you reading that. So we want you to send it back. And I'm not rebellious. I'm like, what? He said, we want you to send this back. We insist that you don't read this. So I went home. I was so I was so down. So I called Marilyn Hickey's ministry. I said, look, you know, if you want to keep the money, whatever you have to do, but my pastor says I can't have this. And they prayed with me. They were very nice. And they said, we're just going to be in agreement, you know, that God will show you what to do and all. And I was like, my business went to nothing. I used to sell fundraising coupon books. And I was good. I mean, I'd sell. I would work 3 hours a week and make good money. And it was a nice part-time job. And I got to do all the stuff with Christian groups. All of a sudden, everybody quit buying them. I mean, they all came back. And I'm watching all this come back, and that never happens to me. And I'm like, God, he said, you're out of my will. And I kept watching this. So I finally, and I felt so grieved. I felt so grieved. So finally, I said, God, I got to be in your will. So I called my pastor. I got to talk to you. I did it with the right heart. I went in. I didn't know anything. I went in. I said, look. All I can say is I have been so grieved. I've grieved the Holy Spirit when I said I didn't want those. And I said, and my business has gone. I mean, every book came back. It's like God's favor is off of me. His blessings are off of me. I said, I cannot live like this. I'm going to order that. I'm going to reorder it. And I'm just telling you about it. I'm not trying to sneak around. And then the pastor said, and I prayed first. The pastor said, well, and I know they prayed. He said, well, I trust you. You have really good discernment. So just promise me that you will not share any of those that have anything on it that's poison. I said, well, I don't share poison. That won't be hard. I gave them out to everybody because there was no poison. Then I sent them to Africa. I wish I kept them because you guys would have liked a lot of them. But anyway, and do you know the minute I did that, I felt joy again. I felt peace again. And all the books went back out. I had a great sale. And this is the only part. I was just so discouraged. It was the only thing I wanted for Christmas. This all happened back then in the day before UPS. If you ordered something, it really was 8 to 12 weeks before you got it. You didn't get it like tomorrow. Going, how did they do that? Are they hiding in the bushes and they see me on the computer and they run out? It's like, how does this happen? But back in the day for you young people, back in the day, if you got it in 6 weeks, it was a miracle. It was usually more like 8 to 12 weeks for a USA order, okay? Okay, so I had ordered this like in October, and so it was almost Christmas. And I remember thinking, oh, all I want for Christmas are those teachings. I was just so hungry for them. I thought, there's no way they're going to be here. Marilyn Hickey and them never canceled the order. They got to my house Christmas Eve. I was so happy. I listened to them all the time. I listened to them and see, here's the thing. You can get stuck there, and I almost did, and you can become a Pharisee. Or you can be led by the Holy Spirit and say, now let's add to that. And let's clean that up a little bit. Do you see what I'm saying? And this is a process that you will walk in the rest of your life as a believer if you do not settle for a Pharisee spirit. Amen?